drink in town with a football problem. Hey folks, welcome into the Piffles Podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
And it's just the two of us this week. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Honestly, the only reason I do this show now is your random singing between that and the boys, boys, boys. That's great.
Well, and we may not even get to play that this week because Amy's not here.
I think we'll figure something out.
We'll find something. Follow us on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
Follow me, at Safamud.
Give Amy a follow, at CFL Hottie Bowl. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram, just search PifflesPod. And check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. So, Steve, just the two of us this week. We're going to talk about that Stamps game that was this past Sunday and give some fan analysis on that.
And really be careful what you say.
I know, right? I don't want to say we got dominated because we didn't get dominated, but we got dominated.
In the trenches.
We're going to talk about that game. We're going to talk about the upcoming game in Ottawa this upcoming Friday at 5. So a nice time to go out and get supper and a drink and go watch the game on a big screen. I don't know what we're going to do for a Hottie Bowl. Maybe we'll look around and see if we can find somebody that can be in the Hottie Bowl this week. We'll have a rant. Our Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile. This week, we're going to talk to Josh Bartel, learn a little bit more about the former Aussie Rules play. Was he a kicker in Aussie Rules? Just a former Aussie Rules player?
I just assumed he was just punter. Australian. I never knew he actually played. We'd have to ask Rod Black on that one.
Yeah. Did he? He did! We'll also have an engaging with the enemy. We're going to listen back to an interview we did earlier with Trevor Harris of the Ottawa Redblacks. And, of course, we're going to have our Piffles picks. So let's get started here. That Rider game against the Stamps, 15-9. Obviously, one-score game at the very end. It didn't look that close to me. It was a game that the defensive secondary played one hell of a game. The linebackers, I thought, did pretty well as well. I wasn't happy with the D-line play. Yeah, we got a couple sacks, but really there was not much going on. But again, the defense held the best team in the league to 15 points, and you can't be too terribly upset about that. Steve, what are your takes on this game?
Well, honestly, if you're gonna grade the entire defense as a whole, D-line, linebackers, secondary, yes, our defense as a whole played great. When you hold arguably the best team, well, not arguably, the best team in the CFL, without a touchdown for 60 minutes, that's a win. That's a great defensive game. But the problem is the Stampeders basically controlled that game from start to about 5 minutes left to finish. I mean, we crossed midfield once, well, got into field goal range once, and that was in part thanks to a catch that I don't really think was a catch. The Roosevelt catch.
I don't think he caught that either.
No, it would hit the ground, but hey, I'll take it. I'm not going to complain. But there's no way that was a catch. And then the 5 yard extra, we got to the 34 yard line. That was as close as we got.
And then Kevin Glenn threw an interception there by throwing a kind of a duck pass.
It was a great punt if we were in punting spot.
Yeah, that's how I looked at it at the game. I was like, well, that's a good punt. Thanks.
It did
Kevin.
Lead to our only points.
Yeah,
because that was where our safety came from. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't say our offense wasn't responsible for that safety. But all in all, on both sides of the ball, our line was not good. And I don't think it's so much a problem with the players as it was a problem with a bunch of questionable coaching decisions.
See, I would say that was on defense, doing a lot of three-man rush, which we saw early in the year, three-man rush with Nick James in there, big, giant dude. He took up double teams and triple teams, leaving the ends one-on-one, and that actually worked. And we all know my feelings about three-man rush. We don't, as well as McKenna Henry and S.A. Marabre and Eddie Steele have played, they don't have that fear instilled in O-linemen where, oh man, we got to block that guy. That's our main priority because he's the key cog. They're good players, but
they're not Nick James.
They're not Nick James. And I mean, that has to do with size as well. So there's that key to it. But you're going up against the best rushing team in the league. A 3-4 defense that you're running, that suits the running game of the other team because they can get linebacker, they can get their offensive linemen up on linebackers. And we saw that numerous times. And to me, that was just questionable on defense. Not that they played bad, because, I mean, Messam had, what, a 5.6-yard average? So his average was what it normally is, but they just kept feeding him, and we couldn't stop it. Couldn't stop it when we needed to.
And that's exactly what I was referring to with coaching decisions, that three-man rush against a team that loves to pound the ball up the middle, not going to work all that well, and we saw it. That's why they controlled the pace of the game. But if you look at it on the offensive side of the ball, we couldn't move the ball. We weren't getting time. Kevin Glenn had next to no time most of that game. And it came down to a lack of, what's the best word to use, ingenuity on offense. We weren't doing pitches. We weren't doing screens. We had no running game.
It looked a lot like the first game in Calgary.
If you let that defensive line pin their ears back and run at Kevin Glenn with no concern for any short game, what's going to happen is exactly what happened 99 times out of 100. And you can't do that.
And that Calgary D line is incredible. Charleston Hughes, Junior Turner, the hell's his name with 3 sacks?
Like he. You mean the former Rider?
The former Rider, yeah. He was on the Rider's neck list.
Of course he was.
Yeah, that's what I said when I saw the article that 3 Down Nation put out. I was like, yep, of course he was.
And we traded him for a defensive lineman turned quarterback. Yeah, or I guess a quarterback turned defensive lineman in Phil Sims.
That worked out great. Hindsight 2020, of course, though, right?
Yeah, if you knew how every trade was going to work out after it happened, we'd probably still have Darian Durant. So,
we usually do who looked good, who looked bad. I want to change that up a little bit. What impressed you?
The secondary. But, you know, I take that back. I've come to expect that level of play from that group of guys. They've shown since we started winning that they can stand with any team in the league. They're going to have off games. That's going to happen. But I've really come to expect that level of play from our secondary. So if I had to pick, I don't want to say Brandon Bridge because he came up in mop time. I'm having difficulty outside of that secondary on picking really anybody. Our coverage unit holding Roy Finch to next to nothing.
Special teams was great. Josh Bartel had one hell of a game. He was great. And the coverage team was very good as well. I think he had one run of like 14 yards. Everything else, he was bottled up right away. I'm impressed by the fact that this team held Calgary to 15 points, and that as poorly, and I use that word in quotes, as poorly as the entire team played, we were still in that game till the very, very end. And the fact that we can get outclassed by the best team in the league, who owned the ball for what, 40 minutes, it seemed like they dominated time of possession. And we were still in it. And we had a chance at the very end to win the game. Got a sack and lost the fumble there at the end. But
all right, now you bring up that play, and I have to ask. I've seen it go both ways, and I want your opinion on it. Roughing the passer or no? On the sack fumble. There was it was face mask to Brandon Bridge's head. Face mask, not crown of helmet. But it was full head-to-head contact.
By definition of the rule, yes.
So do we go full Eskimo fans and rant on that and go off and complain that cost us the game, or do we just let it go?
I think we should just go Jason Moss and just take these headphones and just throw them everywhere. By definite, it wasn't a dirty hit by any means.
Oh, no.
But it was just, I feel it was one of those unfortunate hits. But definition of the rule, yes, it should have been called. And who knows, maybe... I mean, there was still time on the clock. There was still, what, 40 seconds left, 50 seconds left? Lots of time when you're down. Except the penalty, then we would have been on the 35-yard line. So lots of time to get something going.
We would have been at the 20.
They probably win. The Riders probably win.
And you're right. That's what impresses me when you put it that way. You're right. The fact that we were dominated in the line the way we were, had the game basically controlled by Calgary, and we're 35 yards away from pulling that one out. I said it to the dream team that came down as when we were sitting on the field after the game, and for the most part they seemed to agree that was the two best teams in the CFL right now on the field.
See, I will disagree. I think Winnipeg's a better team than us. You put those teams playing each other right now, I don't think it matters what building they're playing in. Winnipeg probably wins. Not definitely, probably. But yeah, I mean, the Riders they played well. It was one of those great defensive games that just happened. It was boring to watch. on, like, if you were watching on TV, if you're a casual fan, especially if you're picking that game over some of the NFL games that were going on, looking at it that way, well, you want offense, well, 15-2 going into the final 5 minutes of the game, well, that doesn't sound good at all.
It's not the game that we're used to as
not with the Riders at home, no.
At home.
What bugged me about this game was the hit on Namon Roosevelt. Not the hit itself. I thought the hit was fine. That's one of those unavoidable football hits that are going to happen. And Roosevelt did, when he caught the ball, I still don't think he caught it, but when he caught the ball, did duck his head a little bit. That's what players, that's human reaction when you're catching something and you're jumping in the air and you know somebody's coming at you. You kind of turtle up a little bit, try and protect yourself. And that's what he did. And Adelke?
Yep.
He was the one that hit Roosevelt. Wasn't a dirty hit, wasn't malicious. The correct call was eventually made as, you know, hitting a defensive receiver, so unnecessary roughness. And so the right penalty was called. But what actually bugged me was that, obviously, we saw him get knocked out. His arms were locked up in the air. He was out cold. What bugged me was that the training staff didn't have a cart come out and get him. The players, once he regained consciousness, any player is going to say, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Every single player is going to do that. I can get off on my own. I can walk off the field. When it comes to that, and this is something that I said to Amy at the game, I'm like, why is the cart not coming out? You stabilize him. If he can come back after, if he turns out to be fine, great. But if we're this concerned about player safety, get him on the cart, take your precautions, wheel him off to the locker room, get him checked out, do it that way. Take the extra couple minutes to get him on the cart, that's fine. And we saw when he got up and started trying to walk off, he crumpled and fell down because he was clearly not there. So they basically had to drag him off. I mean, kudos to Namon Roosevelt for, you know, he's waving his hands in the air, trying to get the crowd back into it and gave a thumbs up and everything, saying, you know, I'm okay. But that bugged me. Get the cart out there.
That was one of the most heartbreaking things I've seen on the field in a while, was that image of Roosevelt standing up and trying to jog off the field and getting 3-4 steps before he started to stumble and fall. You're absolutely right. We're in a spot right now where everywhere the league is trying to push player safety. They've gone to non-contact practices. You know, they're clearly trying to give the image that they're making player safety a key element of the game. And they should have done exactly that. They should have taken every precaution with it. And it doesn't matter who it is. The fact that it's our star receiver doesn't matter. I don't care if that's a, you know, backup O-lineman, a punter, anything. The cart should have come out when a guy's wobbling off the field and clearly not, as you said, all there. Let's just hope that that Roosevelt's injury isn't long-term and that he doesn't suffer too much from it.
Yeah, well, he more than likely will not be playing this week. And if they're going to hold him out of this game, I wonder if they're going to take him on the trip, because they're not coming back from Ottawa after this game. Since they play in Toronto the next week, they're just going to stay out in Ontario, probably without our leading receiver for 2 weeks.
You know what? I'd rather be without him for 2 weeks than risk his health and
yeah, absolutely
be without him for a career, because the hit he took, that's the type of hit that can start causing. I mean, we're Penguins fans. We saw what rushing back Sidney Crosby did the first time.
Yep.
Right? The last thing we need to do is rush Roosevelt back onto the field. I mean, we know who we're playing this week. Do you need to rush him back?
Not this week.
No, no offense to the professional football team in Ottawa, but
Ryan Lindley.
Exactly.
We'll leave it at that for now.
I feel like we'll come back to that.
Yeah. Anything else you got from this game?
I'm just impressed with where we stand season wise and after that game. No.
I'm disappointed by a loss. I always am. I'm not surprised by it. Tell me that Calgary comes in and beats us. Yeah, okay, I can see it. Absolutely. So the nice thing is we're still holding on to a playoff spot. We're still in fourth. So we'd be crossing over going to Ottawa right now, which doesn't look like a bad option right now. And we're still only, you know, that one game back of Edmonton with right now the tiebreaker in hand.
And they are a team that is reeling.
They've lost
five straight
games.
After starting 7-0, they're 7-5. That's
it'll be interesting now because they're coming off the bye week. They're getting more guys healthy. They actually They released Chris Getzlaf on Tuesday.
And already the clamoring to bring him back was almost instant.
No. I thought about this for a second. I was like, you know, with all of our injuries right now in receiver, especially if Devin Bailey can't go because he took a crush on his touchdown catch in this game, maybe Getzlaf isn't a bad option. We traded for a practice roster player in Winnipeg. So maybe you bring in Chris Getzlaf.
And you know what? That would go a long way for Chris Jones to kind of getting over the top with some of those lingering Jones haters that hated him for cutting all his favorites. You know, bringing back an old fan favorite.
But I think the Jones fans would be on him for bringing back Chris Getzlaf, who clearly doesn't have it anymore.
He spent time on, or most of the season, I suppose, on Edmonton's practice roster with all the injuries they've had at receiver.
There's a reason why he's, well, right now, unemployed.
Somebody will pick him up, I have no doubts, but
he's still a Canadian. The passport helps him out. And
well, it'll come in cheap because Edmonton had to pay him out for the rest of the year anyways.
Yeah, that's right.
So do you pick him up as it, just in case depth?
Me, no. I wouldn't be surprised if they did, though. Maybe you throw out a phone call. Hey, do you want to come back?
I mean,
bare minimum contract, yep. Obviously. No promises. You might make the active roster. You might not.
Because if Devin Bailey can't go, who's next?
Josh Radford.
So, Chris, if you're out there, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough call to make, but you know, maybe we're at that spot where you question it. You know, you give him a quick call just to see where his head's at.
I hope we don't bring back Chris Getzlaf overall. I wouldn't be surprised. I hope we don't. You know who I hope we don't bring back? The Dream Team from Calgary. The Dream Team from Calgary, group of fans that, you know, we know on Twitter, and they made the trip to this game. I'm joking, by the way. We would love to have them back. Great group of fans. Just want to give a little shout-out for stopping by our tailgate, coming out for drinks on the Saturday night with us, and just great people. Great CFL fans, but even better people. And they sponsored our beer drinking before the show today. So
yeah, the next 3 weeks of beer is on on the Dream Team.
Thanks, Deb.
Yeah, we appreciate it, and I agree with you. It was really great to put a bunch of faces to the names behind some of the people that we interact with on a regular basis. You know, and they were all, again, exactly as advertised.
Great people. Just
great, down-to-earth, friendly.
And thanks to Liz for being a good sport and letting me borrow her Bo Levi Mitchell jersey, because apparently I'm horny for the rat. And I love Bo Levi Mitchell so much that she let me put on her jersey and do a little photo op for that. So
if you look at your nips in that picture, people may not disagree with you.
It's windy out.
You looked a little excited to be wearing that Bo Levi Mitchell jersey.
But I mean, it was all in good fun. And really, if you can't have fun if you're going to a football game, then why are you going to a football game? So it was great to see all them, and they had a great time, and it was great to meet them, and glad they had a great trip. And
I think we need to make a trip out to Calgary next season to
return the favor.
Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I'm down. We'll make sure we do something like that. Now, getting back to the actual football here, Riders making roster moves, and oh, did they make some roster moves this week? So we're going to start by talking about, I guess, the big one, and he's still a pretty big guy, Trent Richardson, former running back of the Cleveland Browns, taken third overall in the NFL draft back in 2012, played himself off of Cleveland because he ended up just being terrible, and played for the Indianapolis Colts and was even worse. So the Riders put him on the neg list a little while ago, and we talked about that on the show, where he was, you know, missed his plane, didn't decide to come on the plane and sign with the team. Well, he apparently decided to now. And I was at practice on Tuesday, and he was out there. Came out wearing Josh Harris's number 26, who Josh Harris got cut Tuesday morning. And Trent Richardson ended up swapping jerseys with Christian Jones, getting his old number 33 back in practice. So maybe made a little side deal, and Christian Jones is a little bit richer.
No, what we heard from that is actually Christian Jones just walk up to him, swap the jerseys. They're both Bama boys. It was a respect thing.
And you know who, and I didn't even realize this until after, but I linked it after. I was wondering why Trent Richardson and Duron Carter were getting, you know, they were shaking hands and having laughs on the field during stretches. Duron Carter played at Bama too.
Huh.
So we have a little Roll Tide connection going on the team. And
well, let's hope it leads to as much success as they had.
Yeah, well, Trent Richardson. I don't know.
I feel like we had this discussion a few weeks ago, and I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. But with Cameron Marshall out, LaFrance just isn't really cutting it. Harris obviously didn't impress at practice, or who knows what. He had 2 carries. And what are you going to do in 2 carries? Get cut, I guess.
Yeah, apparently.
You know, we're clearly trying to find the right spot in that position. Trent Richardson.
When you're going for a guy who hasn't played in 3 years, it's the same thing with Vince Young. You know what it screams to me? That they don't care about this team at times. And this is, I think it's John Murphy. John Murphy trying to get in with the bigwigs in the NFL. And he's trying to get an NFL job. I truly believe that.
It just seems odd to me that when the team is improving so much, and we've seen it from this year to last, to go out and get a guy like Trent Richardson, who we talked about this in our group, is one of the biggest NFL draft busts.
I think we all agreed that he's the third biggest draft bust of all time.
Like, I get it. Perhaps he comes up here and he lights it up. There is always that chance, and I'm guessing he's
coming in. Same way Ricky Williams did?
I'm guessing he's coming in here cheap. He has to be.
Well, I can't imagine him getting more than the league minimum.
Like, but why?
It makes no sense. It shows that they don't have a plan at running back. They clearly don't trust Keenan LaFrance if they're bringing in
a name without
substance.
Yeah.
There's a lot of substance to him. Still a thick, thick guy. It makes no sense. There's no reason to do that. And we had a question from Piper on Twitter. For those of us who don't follow the NFL much, why do fans hate the Trent Richardson signing? It's because the guy lost all of his talent.
He just was never, he never made the jump from NCAA.
He had a good rookie year, and he wasn't terrible in his second year, but his third
dropped off a cliff.
Yeah, like he was. I think what we're more upset about is not the fact that they're bringing in somebody that, you know, lost their talent from the NFL, but it's an import running back spot. You should be able to find those guys. There's enough young guys out there that you should be able to bring a couple in and find somebody.
But we look at it since Corey Sheets left. That's been the constant with the Riders, is trying to roll over that position and find that next, you know, guy at that dime a dozen position in running back. That's the thing we hear all the time, is that's the position you should be able to basically pick a guy off the street. And 4 years later, here we are. I mean, I know we had a lot of good things to say about Joe McKnight. We all know what happened there, and that, you know, obviously tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Marshall, he looks like he can be the guy, gets hurt. But it's still that constant rollover, and we need something to solidify that spot. And I can't see, there's no part of me that thinks Trent Richardson is something that will do that. Even if he does absolutely light it up, then he's gone.
And it just shows me that Cam Marshall has hurt a lot more than we fans know that they're leaning on.
They haven't said anything.
And he might be out for the rest of the season if they're bringing a guy like Trent Richardson. Now, they worked him out after practice. He didn't do a lot in practice. He was doing some stretches. He didn't get into any actual offensive plays. He was back, standing back behind the quarterbacks and watching and learning and talking to coaches. But they had him on the field after for a while, and we're working him out. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in a closed practice tomorrow and what they're going to do with the roster, because we had an import running back listed as our starter last week. Well, who knows? We might have another one listed on the roster this week too.
Good Lord.
You know, if this was in Toronto, it would make sense, you know, trying to make that big name splash, but it makes no sense here.
It's not the market that needs the splash.
Yeah.
We're at that spot where we need that push over the top.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway, So Trent Richardson is now officially a Rider.
I hope he does great.
Nothing would make me happier. I really hope that he can get his playing career on track, and even if this is just a step to get back to the NFL, hey, if it helps us out along the way, great. But my expectations for him are so low that I don't know. It's just I don't expect anything.
Yeah, maybe that's good. 1 yard, 1 carry, 5 yards.
Plaza.
Yeah. Time to get in the plazoo.
Now, the Riders are also having some other roster moves. They traded for national receiver Brett Blasko from Winnipeg for a conditional pick in the 2018 draft. Blasko, that was the guy that we mentioned earlier in the show. He was a third-round pick in BC in 2016. So there might be, hopefully, an answer to our, you know, who's going to replace Nick Dembski and Devin Bailey injury answer. So I don't know.
Repeat everything I said about Richardson, but without the draft bust. there's not. I'll give him a shot, see what he's got. But
and it's only his second year, so I mean, he still has potential.
Yep.
All right. So, Riders adding and the next day cutting Joe Craig. So, Joe Craig, we hardly knew ye a second time.
Oh, Greg had the perfect response to that. It's the gif of
Grandpa Simpson.
Abe Simpson walking into the club, seeing Bart and walking right out. And the best part was he tweeted that and Joe Craig liked it. Like, feel for the guy because
he dropped out of what he was doing and came up here. I mean, yeah. All for, what, 1 day? 2 days?
On the practice roster.
Like, yeah, so good for him for doing that, though, because still taking that shot at pro football. So
what that tells me is maybe Marcus Thigpen isn't too far away.
He's on the 6-game list. And
we know what that means with Chris Jones.
But Jacoby Ford, still around. So who knows? But they have Jacoby Ford. With Christian Jones back, they don't really need a returner right now. And I guess Jacoby Ford would be our replacement should Jones get injured again. So really don't see a spot for Joe Craig on the team. And if they're bringing in Trent Richardson, somebody had to go, and I guess that was Joe Craig.
I'm sure he'll surface again at some point, although he may not be so quick to answer the Facebook message from John Murphy this time.
And one final roster move for the Riders. It hasn't been announced officially yet by the team, but 3 Down Nation reporting Caleb Hawley signing a contract extension through the 2018 year, giving him a $20,000 bonus up front, and keeping another one of our star receivers on the team for next year. And this tells me, especially with the bonus, that we still have a lot of cap room right now. If
Absolutely.
We're giving out $20,000 with still 2/3 left of the season, there's lots of cap room. So and not Rider fans of the other teams, how can the Riders keep spending and not be over the cap? They're not close to the cap. We don't have a quarterback who's making $500,000. Players are coming here for cheaper. Daron Carter, you know, $120K. Chad Owens, I mean, his salary is not counting against the cap, but he was only, 85, something like that?
Yeah.
Like, these guys could be getting more somewhere else, and
this is what happens
here for a little bit later.
This is what happens when you take a $500,000 quarterback and replace him on the roster with 2 or 3 quarterbacks that don't equal out to that. I mean, right there, we're looking at $200,000 in cap space that other teams don't have. I absolutely love it. Caleb Hawley being around for next year is great, and especially, I think they announced it was $105,000 was what he'd max out at for 2018.
Yeah, I believe so.
I mean, if he performs up to his potential, that's a steal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, like I said, $20,000 bonus, that's this year's problem. It's $20,000 more we got in space next year.
As long as they keep the ratio intact and can keep him on the field, that's a great, great bargain for a guy who could potentially put up 1,000 yards. I mean, with the rest of our receivers, if everybody's healthy, he'd be number 4 on the pecking order. You're probably looking about 600, maybe 700 yards, but still.
But we got to remember, Daron Carter only signed a 1-year deal this year. You know he's going to be asking for money.
Yep.
When November rolls around, and you can't blame him one bit with the year he's having. So having Caleb Hawley in your back pocket in case Daron Carter walks out the door, this is not bad.
Yep. So a great move by Chris Jones getting Caleb Hawley extended in season. So that's one more check mark now, that one less move that needs to be done later. So kudos to that. Now let's move on here. Get to that game preview against Ottawa coming up this Friday. Short week with a travel week. Not a good recipe, especially when the game could have been, the Rider game could have been played on Saturday or something instead of Sunday, but I complained about the scheduling last week, so I won't do it that much this week. But a short week in travel, and it doesn't matter where you're going, that's a tough trip. Luckily, Rider's probably going to face Ryan Lindley, who's taking all the number one reps, and Drew Tate didn't take any. So what do you make of this game coming up against Ottawa?
I love the fact that we're going up against Ryan Lindley. I mean, we saw, in my opinion, we saw exactly what he had to offer last week in Ottawa's game. He's just not an accurate quarterback.
I'll give him some benefit of the doubt just in the fact that the weather sucked for that game. I mean, it was played in the rain and it was delayed because of lightning storm. But yeah, he was bad.
And there's no part of me that's afraid of Ryan Lindley. Ottawa as a whole, not a bad team. Ottawa with Trevor Harris at the helm, I'd go into this game with a little bit of concern. They're playing better right now than they were obviously to start the year. They are a team on the rise, which is really weird to say about the defending Grey Cup champs, but
defending Grey Cup champions, yeah. But they're 5-8-1. They're still points for and against. They're still way ahead for points for and against. They're a +33, but they're still, you know, looking at it, even if they run the table, they're still barely a 500 team.
Hey, barely 500, or well, they were under 500 last year, right?
Yep.
8-9-1?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, under 500, all that matters is you make the playoffs, and you're sitting there in the Eastern Division when all you have to go through is a crossover and, you know, a team like probably Toronto, or perhaps just the winner of that game, depending on where they finish.
It's not a bad way to get to the championship game.
Not even a little bit.
All you got to do is play two or three good games. That's it.
And they've been doing that right now. I saw how they, I saw them in Montreal. Obviously, that's against a really, really bad Montreal team. So I'm a little concerned, but if you factor in Ryan Lindley, I mean, even their own fans have written him off at some points. I mean, not all of them, obviously. But there are fans that have written them off. We talked to Vince here when he was down with the rest of the Dream Team, and he was not very excited about the upcoming game. To me, this is a must win. The Riders need this win.
Yes.
I mean, they lose this, and I question the rest of the season. You go into a game like this.
Well, it was like going into Hamilton the other week. Like, it's a game that 100% they should win.
Yeah.
And it'd be concerning if they don't.
Absolutely.
And that's even without DeMond Roosevelt playing. There's absolutely no reason why they should lose this game. I really don't know what to say about this game other than they're playing Ryan Lindley, and it's a bounce-back game coming off a loss. There's no reason to lose this game.
Nope.
So.
Maybe, honestly, if they lose this game, we don't deserve a playoff spot. It's really that simple to me. These are the games that you have to take if you want to make that run into third, fourth, whatever it may be.
Well, and I called our schedule last week or 2 weeks ago a cupcake schedule for the last last third of the year. Well, this is part of it. They're playing on the road against a team without their starting quarterback. You got to win that. But anyway, there's absolutely no reason the Riders should lose this game. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But moving on here, let's get to engaging with the enemy. Now, this week on Engaging with the Enemy, we're going to bring back an interview we did earlier in the year with starting quarterback of the Ottawa Redblacks, Trevor Harris.
What is the one thing that, like a special talent that you have that nobody else knows about?
I've gotten asked this a few times today.
I really don't have too many special talents. I like to see myself as a tremendous freestyle rapper, but I'm just joking about that.
So should we lay down a beat right now for you?
Who's got the beatbox, man? Now, my wife and my stepmom make fun of me mother-in-law make fun of me all the time about, that I'm a terrible rapper, but I can like walk on my hands and I'm good at ping pong and cornhole, the beanbag game, I guess. So.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke. I love ice cold Coke. What's your favorite movie right now? Favorite movie right now? It's tough. Probably Step Brothers. It's just hilarious. You know, you can watch it so many times over and over. It's still funny.
What are you watching on Netflix right now?
My wife and I just finished Prison Break. Outstanding series. Breaking Bad was awesome. Dexter was pretty good. I know it's kind of gory, but really, really good shows. We watched one more. All Friday Night Lights. They're all great TV shows. So,
outside of football, what is your favorite sport?
Basketball has always been my number one favorite sport to play. I'm just happens to be I'm not that athletic, and I couldn't get paid to play it. So that's football ended up becoming my first love eventually, but I still love basketball to the max.
What's your favorite travel destination?
We just went to St. Lucia for our honeymoon. It was amazing, but the travel to get there was incredibly frustrating. And I thought we were going to die six times on the road. Those drivers are insane. Absolutely insane. Yeah, like they pass each other and they almost get on head-on collisions all the time. It's unbelievable. I was like, man, we're going to die. I was like, I love you. My wife, so.
Who is the best or loudest trash talker in the CFL?
Loudest is Simone. I don't know if you'd call him the best. He's just the loudest.
Seems to be pretty consensus pick there.
Yeah, he's the loudest. I'm not sure how effective it is. He just likes to bark. So if you could take one item with you to a deserted island, what would you take? I should know the answer. There's a right answer to this, you know. It'd be really hard. I know there's a right answer to this, too. I need to look this up. Maybe I would say matches, but no, because I'd use sticks to make a fire. I'm trying to well thought this out. I don't know. Maybe something. I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to think about this.
What's your favorite cereal?
Cinnamon Life.
Cinnamon Life?
Cinnamon Life. Life cereal? You guys remember Life cereal? Yeah, it's Cinnamon Life. Oh, man, that's unbelievable. Oh, no. Life cinnamon. It's amazing.
What's your drink of choice out of the Grey Cup?
I'm not a drinker, so not anything alcoholic. I'd probably just put some milk in there.
Most important question of the day, cats or dogs?
Oh, dogs, 100%. There's never been a question I'll answer quicker than that.
That's the right answer as well.
Thank you.
All right. Trevor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was a chat we had earlier this year with Trevor Harris of the Ottawa Redblacks here on Engaging with the Enemy.
Coming up next, we have the Hottie Bowl, this week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe, Piffles Player Profile, and more. Stay tuned.
Piffles Podcast is supported in part by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. A longtime volunteer with your Regina Thunder, Bryn is a proud supporter of local football. Check out BrynWerrett.com, that's BrynWerrett.com, while you enjoy the rest of this episode of the Piffles Podcast. I like you a lot, lot. All we want is hot, hot. More singing, Steve.
Boys, boys,
so
boys.
I like you like boys singing so
boys, boys, boys.
That means it's time for the Hottie Bowl. And no Amy this week. So, I'm in charge of the Hottie Bowl again.
It worked out really well last time. I think we got to do it again.
So, said we'd look around, see if we can dig somebody up. And I'm looking around. And I'm still looking around. Hey, look. Hey, Steve, do you want to be on the Hottie Bowl with me?
I'm in.
Why not? Let's induct ourselves into the Hottie Bowl.
Honestly, the team needs a head coach, assistant coach.
Well, we play football, though, too. I'm a quarterback. You're a receiver. Right?
Yeah, I don't think I'm fitting on the receiver spot with most of the guys in the CFL.
And Amy already picked her quarterback, so.
And Waterboy's got equipment manager? Towelboy?
Sure.
I'll take equipment manager.
We'll find a spot on the Hottie Bowl roster for us.
Mostly it's just to make sure Amy puts up a picture of you and I on our Twitter profile for a week.
Do we have to give out our stats and everything, too? Like, I'm 5'10", 100 pounds. Like, do we have to give that out too?
Well, I guess, you know, born in 1984, I'm 5'11 and 3/4 because I refuse to take that extra quarter inch and call myself 6 feet. You know, I'm under 200 pounds, so let's go with that. Hailing from Syast in Moose Jaw, where I did not play college football. Or high school football. That's not true. I did play one season of high school football.
Did you?
I did. I was a 5 foot tall little 80-pound soaking wet kid. Played defensive back. I got on one play. Made a tackle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Atta boy.
Mostly I ran into the guy and he kind of walked out of bounds, but I'm taking it. It counts. My name was in the paper with the stats.
That still counts.
Yeah, that is my football career in a nutshell. Oops.
I'm from U of R by way of Mount Royal in Calgary. And I think we played a touch game in Calgary once, so that counts.
That's still college ball.
Right, yeah. So, I mean.
Were you in college?
Yeah.
Did you play ball?
Yeah.
College ball.
Excellent. Logic
see,
is great.
See, we got this figured out.
So, there we go.
Amy's never missing another show.
No, not once ever again. She's going to quit her job and make sure that she never misses. So, Steve, welcome to the Hottie Bowl.
Alex, same to you.
This is great. I can't wait for the pictures to be posted.
So, do we get, like, official member shirts?
We should.
We really should make those up.
Yeah, I think we do. We owe Dalton one, though.
I was thinking about the actual players. That'd be kind of funny to send them out and see if they actually put them on.
And then their wives are like, what's this about?
Don't even worry about it.
Don't worry about it. It's good. Well, if you do want Hottie Bowl merchandise, there is actually some on the website, piffles.com. Whole bunch of other Piffles Podcast stuff on there, too. Check it out and support us in the shop on the website.
Yeah, we always appreciate it.
Now, time now for this week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe. Piffles player profile. I really want to know. Tell me who are you? This week on the Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles player profile, we learn more about your favorite Aussie and mine, Josh Bartel.
Josh, thanks for your time.
Hey, pleasure.
Now, I saw the other day that Spencer Moore was upset on Twitter that he didn't get invited into the celebrations, yeah. Right? For scoring a touchdown with all the other receivers. You said try being a kicker. Mm. Now, do you have a touchdown celebration set up if you were to throw one or run for one? Like Rob Maber the other week, he actually ran for pretty long ways and almost could have scored. If you would have done that, would you have a celebration ready to go?
I actually haven't got a celebration sorted at all because I'm not going to keep that dream alive of actually getting a touchdown or throwing a touchdown. But, as is, like Spencer got a little bit upset. Like he's a pretty emotional guy. Like if you leave him out of things, he likes to be part of the group. So, yeah, I understand where he's coming from.
All right. Now, speaking of the kind of tweets and everything, what's the meanest tweet you've ever had directed at you?
Directed at me? I don't know. I've been pretty lucky on Twitter. They seem to like me a little bit. But the meanest...
Or do people just leave you alone because you're a kicker?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I'm pretty witty too, so like someone has a go at me on social media, I'm pretty good at coming back, so let's just leave.
Okay, where's the coolest place in the world you've ever been?
Probably Banff, actually. Like, I've traveled a little bit around the world, and yeah, I've done a fair bit, but I've been to Banff twice, and yeah, it's still the best place in the world I've seen.
So you're more of a kind of a winter vacation type guy then?
Oh, hell no. I hate the winter. Definitely not. No, I've been to Banff twice during the summer, so I can't handle the winter. No way.
Hey, now, do you miss playing Aussie Rules football?
Yeah, I do. I do, but no, I definitely don't miss the endurance and all the running that they do. I haven't played it for like 6 years, and I don't think I could go back playing because they run way too much. So, but I'm happy to hear what I'm doing.
All right. Now, you're on a day off. What are you doing in your spare time?
I've got a day off. I'm probably recovering from a big night, so I'm not doing a hell of a lot. But you know, our house that we live with, we're a pretty active household, so we'd probably be golfing or we go to a nice bar for a couple of beers and just patio drinks. But no, you don't get up to too much.
Now, of all your teammates, who's the most fun on the road?
Yeah, well, I can't say myself, so it's pretty obvious that it's me. I think all our specialists are pretty fun. Like, we get along really well, and we think we're really funny, and people laugh at our jokes. I don't know if it's out of sympathy or not, but, I think I'd say our specialists are the funnest.
What's the best CFL city to travel to?
I'm a pretty big fan of Vancouver and Ottawa. So, yeah, I'll definitely like them, and... it's nice to get out of Regina, but you know, it's also nice to get back. But yeah, I'll say Vancouver and Ottawa.
Now, do you secretly wish that when you punt to the other team that they make it past the first wave so that you can lay the hit on them?
Definitely not. I don't want to be going in there doing any tackling. We're in a lot of trouble if I'm having to try and tackle.
Do you have a nickname that not many people know about?
Nah, they're pretty stuck standard. They just call me Yeah, coach calls me Kangaroo Killer, which I don't know where he got that from. But
well, it's better than JB, right?
Yeah, that's right. Everyone's pretty good. They haven't really got a cool nickname. It's just Aussie or Down Under. That's pretty much it.
What other hidden talents do you have?
Hidden talents? None, really.
No, can't juggle or like,
no,
karaoke
juggle.
Star?
No, definitely not. Pretty decent at pool. Like, I hustle the boys a lot in our in our lounge here. We got a pool table. And
who's the easiest one to hustle?
Oh, Tyler Krupina, for sure. Dykowski, but then he starts cheating. So, and then he just claims he wins, and you can't beat him in an argument.
Now, are you a salty snacks or a sweet snacks guy?
Probably neither. I haven't got a sweet tooth or anything.
No?
No. I'm pretty lucky I don't have a sweet tooth because I'd be a lot fatter than what I am, so thank God.
Now you get 1 hour to spend with any person in the world. Who are you spending it with, and what are you talking to them about?
This is a good one. You'd have given me much time to prep here. Anyone in the world? Probably, I'm a big fan of Hugh Jackman, so I'm going to chill out with him. Fan of the Wolverine series, and yeah, I'll just chill with him, have a couple of beers, and yeah, shoot the shit, I say.
All right. Who's your biggest celebrity crush?
Let's see. What do we got here? Yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of, is it Jessica Alba?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's a pretty easy one, yeah.
And finally, the most important question we ask all the players that we talk to, we take a poll of it. Cats or dogs, and why?
Oh, dogs, definitely. I've got a beagle back home, me and my girl, so it's, the option of getting cats wasn't even in there. Cats are stubborn, and you have to work for their affection, I feel. Whereas dogs, they're pretty dumb, and they love you no matter what. So dogs easy.
That's the right answer, Josh. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That was my favorite. Dogs are dumb, so they'll love you anyway. That was a really good interview, Josh Bartel. We always heard that he was a good interview, and yeah, he didn't disappoint.
He was one of the names that kept coming up every time we asked, who do you want us to talk to? Now I see why. Don't have a sweet tooth. I'd be fatter if I did.
He was really good. So if there's any other players that you think would be a good one, let us know. We'll see what we can work out with the team, and we'll try and get him on here on the Piffles podcast. Okay, time for a rant.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Steve, why don't you take this week's rant?
You know, mine's going to be really short, really sweet. We tend to rant at a lot of things, football and fan and that kind of stuff. I want to go in a completely different direction. Part of what we do with Piffles Podcast, we spend some time on social media. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, Instagram, our blog, all of that stuff. We spend a lot of time writing, reading, and basically interacting with people in as many different ways as possible. Today, Twitter announced that they were looking at, but they were testing a 280 character limit into a small group of people. I don't know why, and it might just be because I refuse to change, I'm stubborn. This rubs me the wrong way. It's turning Twitter into too much like Facebook. I go to Facebook to read people's long-winded rants about God knows what. That to me is what Facebook is for. And you get those long answers, who's your favorite player? And they spend 5 minutes listing off the reasons why. You go to Twitter, you got, who's your favorite player? Josh Bartel. Done. It's a quick, short interaction. Sometimes you get those long threads where people go off. I did one coming back from my trip. The Dream Team did one coming back, leaving from theirs. You get the long one, but you kind of have to read through it. And you still get very specific wording, and people are very quick to get to the point. I feel like this increase in character limits is going to do the exact opposite of what it wants. And it's going to make people just say the same crap without sparing their words. And that terrifies me. That and seeing Donald Trump with 280 characters.
Yikes.
I mean, right now he sticks to Rocket Man. What's he going to call Kim Jong-un when he's got, 140 more characters? So this is my little rant to Twitter. Please, for the love of God, don't do it.
I agree. Don't know what you're talking about, but I agree.
Thanks for joining us, Amy.
Hey, no problem.
they say better late than never, and
here right I on cue.
They were wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
Good thing she was here like 10 minutes ago. So if you can't say what you're... Getting back to Twitter. If you can't say what you're going to say in 140 characters, it's not that important.
Go to Facebook?
Yep. Exactly.
and annoy people there.
And that's actually what Steve was saying just before you walked in.
Yeah, Twitter, don't turn Twitter into Facebook. And as somebody who is prone to very regular and sometimes embarrassing autocorrect errors, I much prefer an edit button to a 280 character limit.
I don't know. I kind of like your...
I just accept it at this point.
Your stupid mistakes.
They come with the rest of me. It's part of the whole package. That's stupid fair. Autocorrect errors. Sorry, Andrea.
Are you though?
I think it was hilarious.
Not gonna repeat what was said, but oh man, if you guys saw that on Twitter,
there really
There's
couldn't have been
amazing.
There couldn't have been a better, worse autocorrect.
There's screenshots. I'll be sure to post one soon.
Oh man,
I'm surprised Joe Balinowski hasn't tweeted that back to you recently.
Oh, I've seen it in the last couple of days. It comes out every now and again. Yeah. I heard it a bunch when I was in Montreal with the Our Nation people.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, that was that was fun.
Now, Amy, just to kind of get you up on speed on the show.
Yeah.
So we had the Hottie Bowl.
What shenanigans did you kids get up to?
Well, I said we would look around and try to find somebody that could be in the Hottie Bowl.
Well, you did that today in the locker room.
there's a lot of options there in the locker room for mm-hmm. you. But so while we were entering the piece, I looked around and I kept
and
looking around.
You two are the only ones in the room.
And we're the only ones in the room.
Uh-huh.
Guess who made the Hottie Bowl?
No.
And Steve.
No. I do not support these shenanigans.
We played college ball.
Both of us have played football.
While in college.
Yep.
No, you didn't.
I played a touch game with a bunch of guys from broadcasting school.
I did so regularly.
Steve's logic, and it makes perfect sense. Were you in college? Yes. Did you play football? Yes. College ball. It makes sense.
The logic is undeniable.
Hello, my name is Amy, and I do not support this message.
Probably just like everybody else. But the best part is that you get a picture of us for a week as your avatar. So... congratulations.
No. And y'all are welcome. I'm not changing my picture.
I'll change mine and then tag you in literally everything so that you see it all the time.
I see your face all the time.
Sorry about that. Well, anyway, that's the gist of the show, basically. That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we talked about.
Yeah. So you really didn't miss much.
Do I ever?
No, not usually. But you're here just in time for Piffle's Pick'em. So this week, week 15,
crap.
You can look at my sheet. You can even use, I circled mine.
That's the thing. I was expecting to be at work the whole time because you guys should have started many hours ago.
But before we get into this week's picks, can I just remind everybody, I went 4-0 last week.
Yes, I did. And I picked Calgary.
Do you want a gold star?
No, I picked the Riders.
Hey, it's rare for me to go better than 2-2. I'm going to take this win. No, you guys all picked Saskatchewan. I picked Calgary. Yep. And for some reason, I managed to pick...
the board.
I picked Hamilton over BC.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Hamilton
you did.
Hamilton beat BC, didn't they?
That was they did us a favor there.
Yep.
That was great, because otherwise
yeah,
right now we'd be sitting in fifth. And
I jokingly went and almost picked Montreal over Toronto. I backed out of that one pretty quick, so yeah.
Like I said, Montreal's not winning another game this year.
The downside is in our pick'em group, I forgot to change it to Calgary. So in the pick'em group, I went 3-1. But on air, with audio evidence, 4-0.
So this week, we have the Riders in Ottawa, Montreal in Calgary, Toronto and Hamilton, and Winnipeg at Edmonton.
Can I see your paper and I'll pick?
Sure. Steve, why don't you start since I don't know what my picks
are. I'll rock it up real quick. Saskatchewan beats Ottawa. Calgary beats Montreal. I have Hamilton circled, but part of that is only because I'm guessing Sandra wears the Pipples podcast shirt again as her lucky shirt. And
great shirt.
She's 1-0 with that on. So, but no, Toronto's going to beat Hamilton and Winnipeg over Edmonton.
Saskatchewan, Calgary, Hamilton, Edmonton?
Edmonton's going to break their five-game streak, losing streak.
Winnipeg. That's Saskatchewan, Calgary, Hamilton, Winnipeg. Same as you, Alex.
And there's my picks. Thanks, Amy. No problem. Saskatchewan, Calgary, Hamilton, and Winnipeg. I don't see Winnipeg losing. They can pretty much lock up second place here with a win. Not officially, but pretty much.
Yeah. We won't say officially, but yeah. They win on, what is that, Sunday? Well, Saturday?
Then they have the tiebreaker against us. They have the tiebreaker against Edmonton. That'd be it.
Man, it helps us. I'll take it.
Yeah.
This might be the one and only time you ever see me cheer for an Edmonton or a Winnipeg victory.
Well, you don't cheer for one of the rivals to win. Cheer for the other team to suck worse.
Edmonton, suck worse.
So when, you know, Calgary plays Edmonton, I want both teams to suck, but ABC. I mean, right now I would want Calgary to not lose to Edmonton. So I'd want Edmonton to suck more than
Who's Calgary playing?
Montreal. And yeah. Drew Willey will probably start that game because Darian Durant is injured.
See air quotes.
They're saying it's his hamstring.
Injured with the air quotes.
He's frustrated.
Is suck an injury?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry to all the Durant lovers out there.
I feel like there's not many of them left out here. Or at least they're still the Durant apologizers. That's not the right term, but...
And again, I said last week, I feel bad for the guy.
Yep.
But at the same time, again, he dug this grave himself. He made the choice that he no longer wants to be in Saskatchewan. Chris Jones made the choice that I don't really want you here. And this is where we're at. We moved on, and we're right now better off without him.
I'm not mad about it.
Nope.
Yeah, that $20,000 to Caleb Hawley. All right. Thanks, Darian.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hashtag Durant's fault.
See? Still going to stick around for another year.
Gift that keeps on giving.
So before we go, one last little segment here. We've been asking lately for listener questions, and today we got a bunch of good ones that I think we should really, you know, delve into. We'll get one of the fun ones out of the way first from @Stadnick, Fonzie Van Dam. Says the Riders' 2013 playoff run is on TV. What's one show that you would consider changing the channel for?
2013?
Now, I'm going to specify this with just the Grey Cup before we go any further. I mean, the 2013 semifinal, if that's on TV, I'm probably channel surfing for three quarters. So, you're watching the 2013 Grey Cup.
What night is it on?
That's up to you. Is there a show on TV right now that would make you change channels right now?
So here's the thing.
So I would watch the show on TV?
As opposed to the Grey Cup. I'm assuming
Survivor.
That seems
yeah,
like...
Survivor. When's
I'm not a tomorrow. Watch past football games kind of person. If there's nothing else on TV, then he's probably watching them. I'm pointing to Alex, yep. Obviously. Alex will watch them. I could care less. I don't watch old football games.
See, in me, the 2013 game has such great memories attached to it. I don't know if I'm flipping and I see it on, I think the remote control goes off to the side and I stick that game out to the end no matter what.
I mean, good news though is I don't remember old games what the score was, so I could watch it and not know what the heck happens. Oh. Obviously knowing that we win, but I wouldn't know what the score is or when touchdowns
happen. So many memorable moments from that game. The Durant or the Henry Burris fumble and that look in his eyes.
Oh yeah, that.
Corey Sheets second and 19 those. Run.
That clinched the game.
Yeah.
The yeah. Durant fumble
that
went up straight
went up
in the
no, for 7 minutes.
Yeah,
and landed Durant in, fumble that Corey Sheets
and
caught.
And then Corey Sheets caught it.
And yeah. Just Corey Sheets in general that game. You know, Trent
Grey Cup record.
Trent Richardson coming back. A lot of people said if you're going to bring him back, he hasn't played since 2014. Why not Corey Sheets?
We've been down that road already. I can tell you a bunch of reasons why we shouldn't bring back Corey Sheets. But
left Achilles and right Achilles?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's, yeah. So both of you, Survivor, me, probably not. Next question up. We answered the only question that needs to answer. Who replaces Fernie? There's an empty chair right now. Ferlin, you are apparently irreplaceable.
Yep.
That just seems weird.
Do we need a replacement?
No, I think for now we're going to stick to the three of us here. Seems like it's going to work pretty well.
Try that out and see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know what you think, guys. If you like it, let us know. If you don't, same thing. We love your feedback, so.
Who should replace Fernie? There you go. The question is now asked to you guys.
All right, hey, there you go.
Whose voice do you want to hear next to mine? / who doesn't burp or fart, because that's the person I'd like to sit next to me.
Alex slowly wheels. Deb Strickland, part of the Dream Team, asks, after meeting the Dream Team, can we enter your contests again?
Nope.
No.
No.
Nope. All disqualified, all banned.
How many?
Eight.
Coney Island. They got eight?
No.
Eight.
Well, the Dream Team got four, and that
Deb got
other
four, and then another Calgary fan.
Four.
Got four as well. That came for this game.
I mean,
and
for
I should
real
go,
though, if they're going to be coming to Regina more often and spending their money in our city, why not?
And I should also say we did thank the Dream Team for coming out. I do want to thank the other Calgary fans that came out as well, ones that won Coney Island gift cards from us, Adele.
And thanks for the marshmallows. Those were delicious.
Yeah, she made us baked goods as well, too.
Coconut
so I'm
covered
sorry,
marshmallows.
I'm sorry, Adele, I didn't give you the shout out on my article today, but
rude.
Yeah.
And we can back at it as in.
I think it's because Vince. We spent so much time with the Dream Team that's where
we ran into her at the game, though.
Yes, and it was great talking to her and her friend that was with
her. She was wearing a nice jersey, Singleton jersey.
You were saying that his hair is even more majestic
in
person.
It's majestic AF in real life. Just saying. I'm not mad about my pick.
Anything that isn't Trent Richardson?
That's what I was scrolling by was the sixth. Honestly, the last question, I'm going to let you answer this one right off the bat. From Jason Powell, do the Riders have a chance at the playoffs?
A chance? Yes. Mm-hmm. Until they're officially eliminated, they have a chance to make the playoffs.
There's always rider math, right?
Technically, last year we had a chance through 15 games of the season.
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs this year. They'll hold off BC for sure. And especially, like I said, our
West
cupcake
playoffs
schedule.
Or East playoffs?
That's the real question, I think, is do they have a chance to hold off Edmonton and BC?
Because I'd like to go through the West, if at all possible.
Through the West or through the East?
West. Stick no crossovers. No crossovers ever make it to the Grey Cup.
Yeah, stick with history. The more I think about it, and these two games here are going to dictate to me exactly what I want the team to do. Because if they win in Ottawa and Toronto, even though that sets us up better for a Western playoff spot, I want to go out east then. If those are the teams we're going to play, because those are the two teams that we're going to play.
Now here's a completely random question. I do agree with you there, but if you're the Riders, let's say you make the crossover spot, you got to play in Ottawa, and then you win, you play in Toronto. And then you win, you play in Ottawa. Do you come home at any point during that 3-week stretch?
Yes, because everything would already be booked. Because you don't book anything for a week without knowing that you're actually going to be there, right? Especially when it's, 46 players and a whole bunch of coaches. Like, that's a lot of hotel rooms. So you don't book that unless you know we're going to need them 100%.
Makes sense. This is one of those questions that popped in as I looked at the Ottawa-Toronto, and we're staying out in Ottawa and Toronto this weekend, right?
If they were shorter weeks, then maybe they would have something in place, but
yeah, we're talking about a full week each.
Yeah, they would come home.
I think that's it for questions, so.
Keep sending them out to us. We'll keep track of them, and anything you want us to talk about. Doesn't even have to be football either. We'll talk anything.
Our rant, for instance, this week on Twitter, we just like an excuse to talk.
I like answering random questions.
Yeah. Send them in to us at Piffles Pod. We'll make sure we keep track and we'll answer them.
Maybe we should interview me one day like we interview the Piffles player profile.
Okay. Dogs or cats and why?
Dogs. Obvi. Because cats are a-holes.
All right.
So a-holes, creepy, dogs are dumb.
Dogs are dumb and loyal.
It's hard to argue.
Yeah.
Because cats, you are their staff. You are their employee. You work for them. You do what they want. Dogs are excited to see you every single time.
And they go get you beer out of the fridge. You ever see those videos on Instagram?
You can train dogs to get you beer.
I'm getting a dog,
right?
I'm not a kid.
That's true.
You have two kids.
I do.
Dylan will get you beer. I don't know if I'd trust Scarlett to do it yet.
No, she would drink it. I should add, my daughter has never drank beer.
But she'd sure try.
You give her anything with a cup, a bottle, a can,
she will drink it.
It's straight to the mouth. That kid is trouble.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you for joining the Piffles Podcast. Coming up on next week's show, we're going to recap that Riders and Red Blacks game and see where they go from there, see if they're still in a playoff spot. We're going to preview the Riders game against the Argos, which will probably be a tougher game next Saturday, October 7th. That's a 2 o'clock game. We'll have Engaging with the Enemy. I'm really hoping to get my favorite player from the Toronto Argonauts on the show, so hopefully we'll...
Who?
Well, we talked to him at CFL week.
Bear Woods.
Well, he wasn't on Toronto then, so now, I mean, now that he's on Toronto, we have to talk to him while he's on Toronto, right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping so.
I just want 10 minutes on Slaw Dogs.
If we were going out on this trip to Toronto and Ottawa, I would for sure make sure I bring him Slaw Dogs. But we'll have Engaging with the Enemy with the Toronto Argonauts. We'll see if we have another rant. The Hottie Bowl, and I don't know who can replace us, but I'm sure Amy's going to do her best to try and find someone legit.
I think I can find somebody.
Our Coney Island Piffles player profile next week, spoiler alert, is going to be Caleb Hawley, who just had that contract extension. So maybe by the time this show is out, that extension will be announced. And I'm assuming that it wasn't announced because they brought in Trent Richardson. So that was kind of the big news. They didn't want to take away from Caleb Hawley's contract extension announcement. And we'll see what else comes up and just have some fun. Until then, make sure you follow us on Twitter at PifflesPod. Like we said, send those questions in to us. Keep them coming. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
And follow me at Safamod.
And I am at CFL Hottie Bowl.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram. Just search PifflesPod. And make sure you check out PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. Thanks for listening.
We're drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.